Well, it is an absolute delight to be here. And first of all, just on behalf of my wife and I want to thank you for inviting us. Thank you for the great hospitality, the hotel room, Pastor Hernan and Miss Azariah. Thank you for just been great. We've had such a wonderful time. This is our first time to Australia, and such a beautiful country, and honestly, beautiful people. And really enjoyed our time there. I think it's the South Bank, is that right? And amazing down there, and have had a great time. And I just want to say this has been, I've been really looking forward to this. Of course, you know Pastor Fisher and Mrs. Patty, and it's very special to be here with them. And, you know, when you take a church, and I've been the pastor of Lighthouse now almost 3 years, you can never lead a church forward if you don't understand what it was before. And to understand, you know, Lighthouse Baptist Church in San Diego is a very special place. God has touched it in a great way. And one of the things, though, that I knew even before I became the pastor, that to understand Lighthouse, you really have to understand the relationship between Lighthouse and Good Shepherd Baptist Church. You have to understand the relationship between Pastor Fisher and Pastor Shemesh. And so I've been looking forward to this because it's going to be helpful for me to understand even a little bit more of the DNA of Lighthouse and how so much of Good Shepherd is a part of Lighthouse. And I've no doubt through Pastor Fisher, there's a lot of Lighthouse that is a part of Good Shepherd. And also excited not only about what the Lord has done, but what God is going to do. And listen, this church is vital. And even just traveling around the thousands and thousands of people here that need to know Jesus Christ, and was delighted to just talk with Pastor Hernan and just to see, you know, just his zeal and fire to reach souls and to see God do great things. And so excited about what the Lord is going to do. But just to be honest, this is a very special day for me to be here with you, with this church and the history, and just for me to be able to even understand a little bit more about Pastor Fisher and the church where we are. I'm looking forward to the conference. If you've not fully decided to come, I want to encourage you, you need to come. You know, conferences are special things. And historically, you know, even me, I've watched this conference from afar in different states where I've pastored different places. And you could even sense online how God has used and touched this conference. And so I just want to encourage you, please come, be in the sessions, be in the meeting, be in prayer. For God to do mighty things in our midst over these next few days. Well, I'd like you to take your Bible, and I know we read it, but just for sake of tradition, even for me, I'd like us to look at John chapter 10 this morning. John chapter 10, and we're going to read, as we read earlier, just verse 9. John chapter 10 in verse 9. The Bible says this, the Lord Jesus says this, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now, this is what we're going to look at this morning. And shall go in and out and find pasture. I want to preach on this subject with the Lord's help this morning. Courage and fulfillment. Courage and fulfillment. Let's pray. Father, bless now this time together. And Lord, I pray that you would meet with us. I pray, Father, that, Lord, I just don't want to presume that you'll do as you've always done in this place. But Lord, as we enter into these next few days, that your presence, your favor, your Holy Spirit's touch would be on this meeting. I pray, Father, that you would help me to preach like I'm back home. Give me that comfort. Give me that ease. And bless our time in the Word, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Every once in a while, of course, we have 5 children, and now ranging from 21 to 16, 15 years old. And every once in a while, my wife is always busy, but every once in a while, maybe we have guests coming in town and or something's going on, and I know she's got quite a bit she's trying to take care of, and so maybe I'll kind of have all my items or all my tasks tidied up for that day, and I'll call her or text her and I say, hey, you know, is there anything I can do for you? Is there anything, you know, can I go run an errand so that you don't have to pack up the kids and go do this? Is there something that I can maybe get done? And from time to time, she'll say, hey, you know, if you can run to Costco, and I think you have Costco here, so you're familiar with that. Will you run down to Costco and get some items? And I'll say, okay, will you send them to me in a text, first of all, so I don't forget what they are. And so she'll send me a text, and she's very smart. She doesn't send me a long list. It's usually like two or three items. You know, can you go to Costco and get these items? And so I'll go there, and I'll get the big cart. And, you know, Costco is this massive warehouse. And I don't know if it's exactly here like it is in the U.S., but it's this massive warehouse where you buy, you know, you buy things in bulk. And so I get in there and I have my list, and I'll begin kind of making my way to the different sections where I think the items are. And inevitably, this has happened to me numerous times where I'll go and I'll be walking down the aisles and I'm looking and I'm looking and I'm looking and I don't see the item, and I'll go down the next aisle and I'm looking and I'm looking and I don't see the items, and I'll kind of just almost get in this zone where I'm just going down the aisles, you know, looking. And by the way, and when you go to Costco, I see a bunch of other stuff I want, a bunch of other things I'd love to throw in the cart, but I can't seem to find what I'm looking for. And inevitably I'll walk the whole warehouse, you know, sometimes like two times, and I'll look in the cart and there might be one item, and even that item's not what's on the list. And I'm like, I've been walking around here for 45 minutes, going up and down the aisle, working my way through all this traffic, through all this people, and I can't find what I'm looking for. And you know, a lot of people live their life like that. In John 10, verse 9, Jesus speaks about going in and going out. Now, when Jesus is referencing that, he's giving the picture of sheep. And the picture is of the course of the day of sheep that start off in their pen, right? They begin the morning in their pen. The shepherd comes and he gets them out. So they begin and they go out. And the shepherd will lead them to the different places he's going to take them. So they go out, and then at the end of the day, the shepherd brings them back in. And so when Jesus is referencing this going out and this coming in, he's talking about the idea of waking up each day, going out into your daily life, going out into your tasks, going out into your job, going out into your school, going out into all the different things that you have, and then coming back to the end of the day, to where you rest, to where you reside. And here's what I want you to think about, that many people live their life just like my experience at Costco. They get up, they go out, they go here and they go there, and they go through the aisles of their day, and they go through the aisles of their life, and they're out for, you know, busy and moving here and moving there. And when they get back to their home, when they get back to the end of their day, when they put their head on their pillow at night, their cart is empty. That what it is that they truly are searching for, what it is that they truly need in life is missing. No. They may see all kinds of other stuff. There may be recreation. There may be success. There may be accolades. There may be all kinds of fun, all kinds of sports, all kinds of things going on, work and all these different things. But get it, when they come back at the end of their day, if they could look at the cart of their life, here's the truth. It's missing the thing that they are looking for the most. And what is it they're looking for? Pasture. Pasture. You think about a sheep, right? The shepherd leads the sheep out and he takes them to pasture. And what is it? What is it that pasture does? Pasture is where they feed. Pasture is where the sheep is filled. The pasture is where the sheep go and they eat and they are satisfied, and they go back to their pen at the end of the day and they rest full. They rest satisfied. And here is the truth, that people go out and they may not use that word and they may not even realize it, but people are going through their life every day. And here's what they're looking for: to be satisfied, to be fulfilled. No, I'm not talking about filled with possessions. I'm not talking about filled with stuff. I'm talking about in the deepest, most inner part of our heart, to feel this sense of satisfaction, to feel this sense of fulfillment. And we live in a world that doesn't matter if you're in Australia, it doesn't matter if you're in San Diego, it doesn't matter where you are in the world. The day may look a little different, but it's all the same. People are going here, people are going there, but when they come back at the end of the day, they may have a bunch of things in their cart, but they're missing fulfillment in their life. They're missing pasture. And you know, God has some things to say about our going out and our coming in. God has some things that he says about his involvement in our life. I want to just read to you a couple verses. I think they'll be on the screen. Deuteronomy 28:6 says this: "Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out." Psalm 121:8 says this: "The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." Can I just stop and say this? You know what God wants to do in your life and my life? God wants to bless our going out and our coming in. God wants to touch your life. God wants to touch my life. He wants to get a hold of our daily goings, our daily living. And here's what he wants to do. He wants to bless it. He wants to preserve it so that when we come back at the end of our day, do you know we have? Satisfaction. Fulfillment. That there is this deep joy residing in our hearts. Well, how does he do that? Well, Numbers 27 gives us a clue when it says this. In verse 15, Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, "Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and may which go in before them, which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd." I love this. Moses is getting ready to depart. He's brought the children of Israel close, but he hasn't got them into the promised land. And here's what Moses knows. Moses knows that God wants to bless their going out and their coming in. He wants to satisfy them. He wants to work deeply in their life. But Moses says, here's what they need. They need a shepherd. And here he's referencing Joshua. May God put a Joshua in their life to lead them as they go out and come in so that God's blessing may be in their life. Now, here's what I want us to see, how God does that in our life. So now look at John again and look at verse 9. He says this: "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out." So we have that language of going in and out. Now notice verse 3 though. Verse 3, the Bible says this: "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Okay, here's the picture. The picture is not you and I wake up and God's in heaven and he says, "All right, go out and I'm going to bless you. And you read the Bible and you kind of figure it out and I'm going to do great things in your life." No, it's a much better picture than that. The picture is this, that when you and I get saved and we call upon the Lord, we become a part of his flock. We become one of his sheep. And Jesus doesn't say, "Okay, go out and figure it out." Here's what Jesus does. Jesus says, "Come out here, David. Come on, David. I'm going to go before you in your going out today. I'm going to go before you as you go to your job today. I'm going to go before you as you go to church today. I'm going to go before you as this decision comes or this direction comes. I'm going to go before you and I'm going to take my word and I'm going to take my spirit. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to direct you. I'm going to lead you in your life to do what? Verse 9. And you shall go in and out and find pasture. You know, when those Costco experiences happen, inevitably I get on the phone and I call my wife. And here's what I almost always say this. Hey, babe, I don't think they carry this item here anymore. I've looked everywhere. I'm pretty sure they've discontinued this item. And my wife is very gracious. She's like, no, honey, it's there. It's just very hard to find. And I was like, oh, okay, that makes a lot of sense. And I'll say, well, here's where I'm at. You know, and she'll walk me through and say, okay, you need to go back here and you need to turn right. And so, you know, here I am and I got the cart and I'm going, and I'm turning right. And then, no wonder I couldn't find it. This is a totally off spot for it. And it's amazing how my wife will lead me through and show me where to go. And here's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying this, that I want to bless your going out. I want to bless your life to where every day and in your life you feel fulfillment, you feel satisfaction. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to shepherd you. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to direct you in such a way that the very thing that you've been looking for and you can't find, that the very thing that you don't know how to get it in your cart, I'm going to lead you to the pasture and I'm going to fill your cart so that your heart can have satisfaction in your life. Now, here's what I want to do this morning. I want to show us three things about how the Lord gives us fulfillment. And I think these principles are so, listen to me, these are so important for us. And so I want us to see a couple things. Here's the first thing I want to establish, that Jesus knows where fulfillment is. Okay, so the picture is this, that Jesus is leading us in and out on our daily life, but I want you to notice that verse 9 does not say this, that he shall go in and out and into the pasture. Did you notice that? The picture is not, we get saved, the Lord wakes us up, we go out into our life, and he leads us into pasture. In other words, it's not like just as we live our life, we just, there it is, it's clear. That's fulfillment. That's satisfaction. That's what joy is. It doesn't say that. Here's what it says. He leads us in and out, and we, key word, find pasture. Find pasture. Why is that important? Okay, here's why. Because fulfillment and satisfaction is oftentimes things that we don't even know what it is or where it is. You see, in our life and in our society, in our world, we think we know where satisfaction is. We think we know where fulfillment is. We think if we have this thing or do this thing or become that thing or achieve this thing, even in serving God, we think that if I can be this or I can reach these people or if I can achieve these things, then I'll be satisfied. But here's the truth. Fulfillment is not something that you and I walk into. It is something we find because only Jesus really knows where satisfaction is in our life. Okay, you see, many people make the mistake, now listen carefully, of trying to use Jesus to bless their definition of fulfillment. So here's how most people live their life with the Lord, even believers. There's my going in and going out. I want to be fulfilled. Jesus, I want you to bless my job. I want you to give me a spouse. I want you to help me achieve this thing. And here's what they think. They think these things are where fulfillment is, and they look to Jesus to give them those things, and they're going in and out so that they can be fulfilled. But that's a huge mistake. Because people, listen, people who try to force Jesus to lead them to their version of pasture will be discontented with Jesus. Because one of two things is going to happen. Here's the first thing. Jesus is going to give you what you want, but you're still not satisfied. And you're going to think that there's something wrong with the Lord. Or you're going to think there's something wrong with following God. Or Jesus isn't going to give you what you want. And you're upset with him because you feel like he's not giving you what you need in your life to be satisfied. When you're talking about being fulfilled and satisfied, you must start with this. You must allow Jesus to show you what and where fulfillment is. So you got to start your life like this. Listen to me. Lord, I don't really know what satisfaction is. I don't really know where satisfaction is found, but I know you know. And I know this, that you will bring satisfaction to my life. So I'm going to follow you. Listen, and I'm going to let you determine what I need in my life. You know what you'll often find is the things that seem to have the least appeal often bring the greatest satisfaction in our life. That the things we spend many years living for and seeking, thinking it's going to make us happy, thinking it's going to fulfill us, oftentimes those are the things that bring the least amount of satisfaction. And it's other things that we didn't even think were a big deal that God actually satisfies our soul with. So you got to start with this. Jesus knows where fulfillment is. The second thing is this. Jesus shows us fulfillment as we follow him. Okay, now, notice verse 9 again. He says this, I am the door. If by me any man enter in, right? So to get into the pen, I've got to believe in Jesus. I become a part of his flock. He shall enter in and be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now here's what you need to understand. This is not like all at once. This is a process. In other words, it doesn't look like this. I get saved. I become a Christian. And now day one, I go out and follow God and boom, there's just pasture everywhere. That's not the idea. Here's the idea. I give my life to the Lord. And here's what I say. Okay, God, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to live my life how you want me to live my life. And I go out and day one, God is showing me I need to behave this way. I need to live this way. I need to stay away from these things. And so I do that and I follow God and I come back and I go back to the end of my day and I wake up and I do it again on day two and I go back and I do it again on day three. Now listen, and I might be on day four, day five, and I might not have any fulfillment yet, but I'm supposed to just keep following the Lord, keep obeying the Lord. And here's what's going to happen. As we follow the Lord, God leads us into hard decisions. Like if you're going to follow me, you need to trust me with a tithe. Amen. If you're going to follow me, then you're going to need to put church, what I died for, what I love. It's going to have to be a major priority in your life. And you may not be able to do this recreational thing. You may not be able to take this promotion. You may not want to move your family over here because there's no good, vibrant, local church here. And you're going to come to these times in your life where there's these decisions and the Lord's saying, no, I'm not over here. No, you can't go over here. Here is where I am. And you have to decide, are you going to follow Christ? And here's the thing, but as you follow him, day in, and day out, and you raise your children for the Lord, and you guide them to the Lord. Here's what happens: as you obey him, he brings you to places in your life of satisfaction. He gives you fulfillment. He gives you enjoyment. He enriches your soul. He satisfies your life. Which means this: listen, our fulfillment is directly linked to our faith. Okay, you could be a Christian for 20 years and still not be fulfilled. And here's why. Because the Lord says, follow me here. And every time you say, no, I'm not doing that. And you're saved. The problem is when you go out, you're not going where Jesus tells you to go. No, you're saved. You're in no danger of losing your salvation. You're in no danger of going to hell. But when Jesus says, I want you to obey me here. I want you to live this way. You say, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to sacrifice that. I don't want to give that up. I don't want to make that commitment. So here's what happens. Because you're not willing to, by faith, follow the Lord, you never get to the pasture in your life. and you go to church and you do the basic things, but you're not really doing what God wants you to do. And so as a result, you never experience all of the blessings that God could have for you because faith is directly linked to fulfillment. You think about some of the most fulfilling times in your life. You know what you're always going to find? It was usually always before a decision that scared you to death. I think about the most satisfying times in my life, in my family's life. Almost always it started like this. Jesus said, we're going this way. And I'm like, I don't think I want to do that. I'm scared of that. No, I'm good right here, Lord. But the Lord's like, this is where we're going, son. And it wasn't until by faith we followed him, by faith we went out, that then after we risked it, after we trusted him, after we did what he said, you know what happened? Then all of a sudden he says, now here's pasture for your soul. Here's enjoyment for your soul. I'm going to talk about what pasture looks like in a minute. You cannot find fulfillment in your life without faith. No, you can dress right, you can talk right, you can come to church, you can do all that stuff. But at the end of the day, if you're not willing to go where God wants you to go, you will never come across the pasture that God has for you in your life. Listen, now here's something also important. You cannot depart from following Jesus and keep the fulfillment you got from him. Okay, so here's what happens. We follow the Lord and he gives us blessings and he fulfills us. But then here's the mistake we make, especially with second generation. So second generation, you know, first generation gets to know the Lord, and you know they know the dangers of the world. They know what's really out there. Then a lot of times the second generation comes, and they're experiencing a lot of the fulfillment, a lot of the blessings of the Lord. But they don't necessarily understand how dangerous things are out there. And here's the mistake they make. They think that they can keep all the blessings and stop following the Lord. No. We can have this joy. We can have this family. We can have these good things without really serving God, without really being committed to God, without really being holy for the Lord. And a lot of times people think that they can maintain all the joy of God while not serving God. Here's what happens. The pasture dries up when we stop following Jesus Christ. You must continue to follow Christ if you want to continue to be fulfilled by him. Christian fulfillment compounds over the long haul. In other words, the longer you serve God, the more fulfilled you're going to be. It's like the beginning you start off, and you know what a lot of it? It's a lot of grind. It's a lot of faith. It's a lot of getting rid of this and getting rid of that and hard decisions and losing friends and making life changes. And a lot of it at the beginning feels like a lot of going out and a lot of coming in and not a lot of pasture. But you know what happens when you start doing it for 5 years and 10 years and 15 years? All of a sudden you see pasture in your marriage and pasture with your children. And pasture even a lot of times in your financial life, and pasture in your personal life, and you start seeing how God begins. It's this compounding blessing of God that works in our life. Okay, but I think this leads to a good question. So if the Lord knows where fulfillment is, and I get fulfillment from following the Lord, well, what is fulfillment? Now, in verse 9, he says this, he shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, here's what's interesting about that. That's kind of a vague term. In other words, when you and I are trying to compare that in our life and say, okay, well, what does it mean that the Lord leads us and he fulfills us and he enriches us? And I've read many people, they try to say, well, pasture is this thing, or pasture is that thing, or pasture is this thing over here. But here's the reality. I think the Lord specifically doesn't define it. Because here's why. God provides fulfillment in many ways. Let me just give you a few. Even from the book of John. One of the greatest ways that God brings fulfillment to your life is this. From what we learn and see of God as we follow him. Okay. Abraham. Moses. David. Peter. You name it. They make a choice to follow God. We're going to follow you. And you know what inevitably happens as they follow God? Hard times. Challenging times. There's no sun. Here's Abraham. He's old. There's no child. Here's Moses. He thought it's his turn to lead Israel and restore Israel. And now he's on the backside of Midian and he's lost all confidence and he doesn't know how God's going to use him. There's Peter and on and on and on. And they find themselves in these places where they followed God, but there's challenges and problems. And in every instance, you know what every one of them do? They make mistakes. No. Nobody who followed God was perfect. They make mistakes. They slay the Egyptian soldier, or Peter, you know, speaks out in a way that he shouldn't speak out, or Abraham says, Here, use my handmaid. And they all try to reason it out, and they all make mistakes along the way. But you know what they see? God loves them. And God is patient with them. And God comes to Abraham, and there is Abraham, and he's afraid. And God says, see the stars, Abram? Just as the stars in the sky, so shall your seed be. And God comes to Moses in a burning bush. And there is Peter after he's denied the Lord. And there is Jesus on the side with fish saying, come, eat, feed my lambs. And here's what they see. They see the grace of God and the love of God and the continued call of God to follow me. And follow me. And you know what they do? They follow God. And here's what they see. That God does as he says. That God empowers them to do the things that he's called them to do. And that at the end of it all, through all of the trials, through all of the heartaches, here's what they see. They have a loving God, a forgiving God, a faithful God, a powerful God. So much so that I believe that if you talk to Abraham or Moses or Peter and you'd say, you know, what was one of the most fulfilling parts of following God? Here's what they'd say. God himself. Seeing God. Knowing God. Experiencing God. Failing and falling, and yet God picking me up and helping me along the way. And one of the most fulfilling parts for you and me every day as we wake up and we go out and we come in and we go out and we come in and we just try to obey the Lord and we try to witness and we try to raise our children and we try to forgive and we try to bless them that curse us and we try to keep ourselves morally pure and we try to serve the Lord and we all stumble along the way, do we not? And we fail here, and we fall here, and we mess up here, and we say the wrong thing here, or we make a bad decision here. You know, all of us see God's faithful, and he loves us. And how many times in the middle of your failure, you open up your Bible, and it's like, God's word, this verse is for me. Or how many times have you come here to the church, and the message is given, and you're in the middle of beating yourself up. You're in the middle of saying, oh, I've blown it. And it's like the Holy Spirit is soothing you and speaking to you. And he's saying, I'm still here. I still want to use you. I want you to keep going. I want you to move forward. And you keep going out and you keep coming in and you do what the Lord has. And here's what you see. You see God is always faithful. That the thing that God said he would do, he does. That God brings you through the trial. That God gives you grace through the heartache. That God gives you comfort. That he gives you scripture. That he uses you in this thing or that thing. And one of the most fulfilling parts of serving God and following God is this, that you and I get to see and know God in a real way, and nothing satisfies us more than knowing the Almighty God. I can honestly say this. There are a lot of things that the Lord has done in our journey that I definitely would not have said when I was young, this is the route I want to go. Definitely. But here's what I would say. That no matter how painful some things have been in my life, no matter how challenging some things have been in our life personally, ministry and different things, I could not imagine going any other way, because I got to know God and see God and have God come alongside and speak to me, and God come alongside and provide grace and strength, and God come alongside and do things that I could have never imagined him doing had I not followed the Lord through that valley or followed the Lord through that dark time. Listen, one of the most satisfying parts of the Lord is simply the Lord himself. Look, if you don't follow the Lord in your life, if you just kind of come to church and do the church thing and then go live your life, the songs that we sing, The things that we preach about will never be powerful to you until you actually see the God of heaven working in your life. Some of the greatest pasture is to come at the end of a hard season or a hard trial and say, we saw God in this. The second thing I would say is this. Fulfillment often comes from this, to the people that God gives us on the journey. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another. You know, God doesn't put us on this journey by ourselves. We are sheep and we're a part of a flock. And it's an amazing thing that as you and I follow God and we live for the Lord, you know what he does? He puts people in our life. He gives us relationships. He gives us people that we serve alongside. He gives people, even whether it's our family, our church family, and God allows us to mourn together, rejoice together, serve together, go through trials and heartaches together. And there is something so satisfying and so enriching as you and I follow the Lord as a church family for events and different things, to come through things and be knitted together and to be close and to know this deep bond of having people together with us on the journey. Here, it wasn't that long ago where we have our auditorium. Probably some of you have seen pictures of it. It's a beautiful auditorium. And we had this during the summer. We were repairing the roof and a storm came through that we weren't ready for. And it flooded our entire auditorium and they found asbestos. And we were suddenly out of the church auditorium for a year. And we had to move from the auditorium to what was our fellowship hall that we had to very quickly turn into the lower worship center so that we could have a place to worship. And I'm just gonna tell you, at that time, there was nothing about that that I was happy about or enjoying. It was stressful, there was challenges, there was all kinds of problems going on with the auditorium. But you know what is amazing what the Lord did as we followed him? He put us in that fellowship hall and we worked together and we began to repair that lower worship center and we began to pray for God to do it, to be able to give us our auditorium back. And we began to work as a church to put money aside to remodel that auditorium. You know what's an amazing thing? That in one of the most difficult times of our church's life, at least in the past 10 years, that God knit us together and made us close like a family. And it was one of the sweetest parts of that whole journey was this, us going together in the journey as a church family. And if you think about Good Shepherd, or you think about the church that you're a part of, and you think about the highs, and you think about the lows, and you think about even putting together a conference and all the nuances that come to that, you know, one of the most fulfilling things is the people that you do it alongside with. And God brings fulfillment in those things. Listen, when you have a godly marriage, there's great fulfillment. When you have a godly family, there's great fulfillment and enrichment in that. There's also the natural and supernatural rewards of obedience. You know, gravity's a law, right? When you and I obey God, there's laws. That when you do what God says, there's natural blessings. Listen, you work hard, you do right with your money according to the book of Proverbs, God will often bless you financially. You apply principles of the Word of God to relationships. You apply the Word of God to things that you do. You know what you often have? The blessings of God in all these different things of your life. You know one of my favorite things, preacher? One of the most fulfilling parts of following God is this. The person who God makes us on the journey. When you get saved and you start off in that pen, there's a lot of stuff to work on. Come on. There's a lot of pride, a lot of lack of understanding. We all have our own personal problems, our own character flaws. You know what God does is he leads us out. He works on us. He teaches us to be more humble. He teaches us to be more forgiving. He teaches us to be more gracious. He teaches us how to lean on him and depend upon him. And it's like as we go out and we go in and we simply obey and follow the Lord, as 2 years go down and 5 years go down, you know what? The person that started in the pen is not the same person 5 years later if you're following Jesus Christ. And there's something so rewarding and so fulfilling of saying this, no, I'm not Jesus right now, and I'm not where I need to be, but praise God, I am not who I was when I started. And there's something so satisfying of seeing the Lord. Maybe you have a maybe you had a temper problem, or maybe you had a bad language issue, or maybe you struggled with bitterness from an old experience in your life, or maybe you weren't a good listener, or whatever it is. And to watch as God tempers you over the years and changes you over the years and smooths off those rough edges and makes you more like Jesus Christ, and to one day look at yourself and say, I'm not all I know I want to be, but I'm so thankful, God, in who you've made me to be. There is nothing more satisfying than letting God get his hands on you and conform you into the image of Jesus Christ. And then the most fulfilling thing is this, what we get at the end of the journey. John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. We go out and we come in. And we go out and we come in until one day we go out and we come into heaven. And there we stand before our Lord. And there we stand before the King of Kings. And we are led into a perfect heaven with our own mansion and our own rewards and our own honor. And we get to dwell with God for all eternity. And at that point, you and I will live in eternal pasture, and we will experience a fulfillment from God unlike anything you and I could ever imagine. I love, you know, sometimes I go to Costco, and Costco just knows how to make you want to buy stuff. I don't know if Australia's like that, but Americans, we just love to buy stuff. And you walk and you're like, oh, I didn't know I needed that. I need that. And oh, I didn't know I needed that. And you get into line and there are people with carts. I'm talking flat carts, big carts. They've got TVs and they've got clothes and they've got food and they've got all fans and all this different stuff. And you'll see people with hundreds of items. And I really believe this, that people who really follow God, I'm talking wherever he leads, I follow, that love his word, and even when it's hard and temptations are pulling, and even when there's pressure and there's real risk at stake, people that really follow God and they go out and they come, and here's what they find, that God just gives them Costco carts of fulfillment. There's fulfillment in their walk with God and who they know God to be. There's these rich relationships all around them. There's who God has made them to be. There's all kinds of supernatural blessings and stories and miracles along the way. And they get to the end of their life and they're just like, wow, look at all the fulfillment and joy and blessings that we had and we would not have if we hadn't followed Jesus Christ. Now, I want to challenge you with this statement. Fulfillment is not about having to do big things. Fulfillment is about following Jesus in everyday things. I want you to get that. Fulfillment is not about having to do big things. Fulfillment is about following Jesus in everyday things. Listen, if you're here this morning and your cart's empty and you don't have much satisfaction, you don't have much fulfillment, it might be as simple as this. You may have never received Jesus Christ and you're not a part of the fold. You cannot follow Christ as a shepherd until you make him your shepherd by calling upon him in faith. And I think, listen, this morning as we come into a time of leadership conference, and no doubt as God's going to speak to us and God is going to meet with us, I think it's so important for us to start with this, back to the most rudimentary, most basic thing, which is this: Lord, I want to follow you. I want to wake up every day and I want to go, I want to be, I want to do, I want to say whatever it is you want from my life, so that I can experience the pasture that you have. Maybe you're in a time of pasture. Maybe you're like, yeah, I'm in the Costco. I mean, you know what? You ought to thank God. And you ought to recognize you're not the reason for the fulfillment. You're not the reason for the satisfaction. And maybe you ought to just come and say, God, I want to thank you and praise you for the fulfillment in my life. Fulfillment is not about having to do big things. It's about following Jesus in everyday things. With every head bowed, every eye closed, before I pray this morning, Maybe you're in here and you've never called upon Jesus Christ. You've never trusted in Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. It's not something you do all the time. It's a one-time moment in your life where you trust in Jesus Christ to forgive you and to become your Savior. And you say, you know, if I were to die right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. If I were to die, I'm not sure that I would be with the Lord. And you just say, Brother David, would you pray for me this morning? I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I've called upon Jesus. With every head bowed, every eye closed, you say, would you pray for me? Just slip your hand up so I could pray for you. Is there anyone like that here this morning? I don't want to embarrass you. I will not call you out. I just want to pray for you. Brother David, would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'm saved. Maybe this morning you're a believer and the Lord is just speaking to you. Maybe there's a specific thing, a specific area. Maybe it's just getting back to the heart of following Him and doing what He says. Maybe you're in a time of blessing and pasture. Many different ways the Lord could be speaking. Father, I pray that you would bless this invitation. I thank you, God, that you have us follow you, but not just for deserts, but you bring us to fulfillment. You bring us to pasture. I pray that you'd help each of us to evaluate, are we truly following? Are you truly the guide of our life? Does your word actually determine and dictate our behavior and our decisions in our life? Father, we thank you for all of the blessings and fulfillment you give us along the way. I pray that you would bless this invitation in Jesus' name. With every head bowed, every eye closed, the invitation is open this morning. Maybe you want to come and you want to commit to following the Lord or recommit to following the Lord or thanking the Lord. Let's respond to God this morning, however He's spoken. The invitation is open this morning.